Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study, Galatians chapter 4, we were taught that when we are depending on religious rituals, we are no better off than if we were worshiping false gods. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We remember that this passage here, we remember this book of Galatians, is written to believers at Galatia. They were not Jews prior to their salvation. They were pagans. Now, by pointing back to then, the Holy Spirit is trying to help these folks see that by turning now to Judaism, they were going backward. They were no better than before. It was just a different type of a disobedience. Therefore, they need to see how awful it is for one who has tasted of God's free grace to turn again to the fleshly practices for which the Jews were trying to lead them. See, these Jews were not saved Jews. They were, at least I don't believe so, they were trying to turn God's grace into something else, into work. See, in salvation, we have gained acceptance with God, who is a spirit. We need internal, not external stimulation. We must not allow objects, feelings, nor ritual to replace a daily walk with God. Now, I can remember when I was in college, as I think of this verse where he says, why do you go back? You know, why? Why would you go back? They didn't know God. You did service unto them, which by nature are no gods. Why are you going back to them? Why would you be in bondage to them again? What's the reason for that? Well, back in college, I married and I had two children already, and we'd have another one not too long after we were in college. But as we were there, it was 1974. Our nation was going through gas lines, frozen wages, a recession. I was looking for a job and just could not find one. I was going up and down everywhere, and the jobs that were open would be the jobs that would be available while I was in school, which I could not take because God had called me to go to school. So I got to a point where I would go to a blood center, and I would give blood twice a week. But now this, they would take a pint out, take the plasma out of the blood, and then put the blood back in you. Then you had to wait 48 hours, and you could come back and give a second pint in the week. The first time I'd go, they'd give you $5. The second time I'd go, they'd give you $10. And that's where it'd go each week. I remember I'd take about half of that and put it into my car, which unfortunately was only getting about 10 to 12 miles per gallon of gas. I couldn't afford to trade it or do anything else with it. And so I'm looking for a job, and I'm then happen to use half the money for gasoline and the other $7-$8 to buy food. Now you can imagine buying food for you and your wife and two small children. I'd buy bent cans of vegetables, they'd always be generic and bent up, you know, in those little containers. They'd have them set. Sometimes they wouldn't even have wrappers on them. They weren't real sure what you was getting. And then I bought grits. Grits were cheap, and they served as a filler. Now, I didn't have butter. I didn't have other things that people may put on it, whether it be jelly. I can't imagine that, or sugar or milk or anything else on grits. I can't imagine that on them. But we didn't have that. We had water, we drank, and we ate the food. Now, we never missed a meal, but our meal consisted of, for breakfast, for lunch, for supper, a bent canned vegetable, and grits. Now, I didn't feel like I wanted to take food stamps back in that day. If I could work, I said, I don't need it. I felt like food stamps were people that could not work, could not earn it. So I didn't take it. But I got to admit, it was hard. As I would see people go through the line getting steaks and all this other great food. Now, I don't want to go back to that, okay? I don't want to go back to that. And yet, we went like that for a few months until a job came through. That's the way it was. But praise God, He took care of us through it all. As hard as it was, God tried us to see if we were going to stick. We did. God was so gracious and so good to us. But I don't want to go back to eating a canned vegetable and grits every meal. Now, I say all of that just to simply say that when you've come to the Lord, don't look to go back to the world. All the world brings you is a moment of thrill with a life of regret. So let's look there at verse 9, since I've been building up to that. He says, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Oh, that's a very good question. That's a very good question. I mean, now that you know God and you're known of Him, why do you want to go back? I think of marriage. When I think of known to God. Because this is addressing now that enduring heart, inner man relationship with our inner man and God. And I believe that here in Galatians right now, the Holy Spirit here in verse 9 is emphasizing our special, personal relationship of love to God. The relationship with God was always meant to be personal between the believer and God. My friend, it was never intended to be a religious ritual that we practice. And that's what the majority of Jews ended up doing in the Old Testament. And some things became traditions, became rituals that were not even in the Word of God, but they were doing them. But God has revealed the knowledge of Himself to the believer. Now, it's not that they owe their knowledge of God to themselves. They don't. They owe it to God. God made Himself known. Now, too often, we just simply do not see a truth until we read it ourselves. Now, I found often, I read truths, I don't get it first. until the Holy Spirit of God opens my understanding to it. However, I must first read or hear the truth. Then God opens it up to me. I have a personal responsibility to not just read God's word, but to meditate in it. Now, you think back in the Bible day, they didn't have books. They didn't have Bibles readily available in every house like we do. I mean, some of us have four or five Bibles in our houses or more. We have books about the Bible in our houses. They're available online, and now you have them on your cellular devices and other mobile devices. And so they're right there. And it's great that we read them. In Timothy, they were told to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, that is, to preaching of the word. And you see, we are to meditate on the word. It's not just enough to read it. It's to think on it, meditate on it, and ask God to open our understanding to it. And God wants that out of each believer. Yes, God gives the church, the local church, pastors who teach the word. But understand, God also gives it to you. Just because you have a pastor who may be a good teacher, or you have a Sunday school teacher that's just excellent, does not excuse you in God's sight from the personal relationship and seeking to know the mind of God through His word and to commune with Him. Now, we need to look at some definitions as we go through this verse. He says here in verse 9, how turn ye again to the weak? Now, I looked in a lexicon of what does this word weak mean? How are they defining it? And it said powerless to do. And then I saw beggarly elements. Turning to the weak, and also they're turning to the beggarly elements. So what does beggarly mean? Well, it was defined as poor and helpless. I think of that famous commercial that most of us have seen on TV or heard on a radio or something, where the elderly person says out in fear, "Help! I've fallen and I can't get up." And now that's regarded rather humorously, but you know, I have a father that is 95 years old right now, and when you hear this, he may still be going strong or he may be with the Lord. But whatever it is, he had that day where he fell and he had to call out to somebody to help him because he broke a hip.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.